Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Ameritech Property Management, how can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail. It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell does that mean?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hearing only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Today's show is all about exterior painting of your home or building. What is a good paint job and how important is preparation? What about having good paint specifications written by a good paint manufacturing company? Or how about prep in the exterior of any surface prior to applying any type of paint? And what about warranties and life expectancies, especially the exterior paint jobs, especially here in Florida? That and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection.
Hello, everybody. Our guests today are two seasoned paint professionals, Mike Galley and Tom Crozier from Dyco Paint. Mike has been in the paint manufacturing business for over 25 years, and currently he's with Sun Paints and Coating as their sales director. Tom has over 32 years' experience in Florida in consulting with painting contractors, property managers, GCs, as well as HOA and condo presidents. He's excellent with writing paint specifications and ensuring the proper preparation and application of his products. So welcome to the show, Mike and Tom.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike, let's start with you. The Florida sun is very brutal, and of course we all love it, but it can be harsh on a paint job. So how do you prevent fading and discoloration, and is there a product out there that's strong enough to take on the Florida sun?
Well, first of all, thanks for the question, Sharon. And in a short, the answer to that is you need to make sure that the surfaces are properly sealed because that will help give you longevity for your paint job, especially against the Florida sun. And you need to use a high-quality 100% acrylic paint because that will also help hold up against the brutal Florida sun, and it really does take a toll on paint.
Okay, Mike, I got a question for you. What about the color? I mean, does the color have anything to do with, the paint from fading here in Florida? I mean, let's say you picked a dark blue, for an example, versus a pastel color like a light tan. I mean, is there any factors in that? Or obviously the quality of the product has a lot to do with it, but what about choosing the right color?
Absolutely. There are many colors out there that will tend to fade much faster than others. Typically, those colors are the ones that have to be made with factory pigments that aren't found in nature. Usually your earth tone colors are made with pigments that are ground from ore and things made in the earth. Right. And those tend to hold up much, much longer. But then when you start getting into reds and yellows, which aren't naturally found in nature, and those are laboratory made pigments, those tend to fade much faster. So the selection of color is very important.
Now, what about titanium? I know they put titanium in paint, which is a very expensive raw material, right?
Correct. It is.
I know you guys, especially with Dyco paints, you guys use a little bit more titanium out there in the product? I mean, would that be correct by saying that? Especially in the darker or ultra deep base colors?
The titanium is what, you know, actually makes paint hide, and it makes paint white. Some of the darker colors actually have less titanium because okay. You don't have to then overcome the white in order to get to that color. But yes, we do tend to put a lot of titanium in because it gives you very good coverage and hiding power, which everybody's looking for in paint.
Yeah,
because
they want to do that one coat job and they're done, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got to have more titanium in there to get away with one coat. Now, if you got to put three and four coats, that would be like less titanium, maybe crappier paint. Would that be right, Tom?
Or just overdone?
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about the different types of brands of paint that we should use in relationship to the surfaces. So I'm sure that makes a difference as well. Tom, you want to answer this question?
Yeah, there's a multitude of different types of paint that could be used. If you have water intrusion, for instance, you'd want to use what they call a high build. It goes on at roughly three times the thickness of a regular paint, stops a wind-driven rain with proper caulking. On a front door, you would not want to use that. You'd want to use what they call a direct metal or an alkyd-based paint that is shiny for better retention on gloss and wear and tear.
Well, especially the steel doors. I mean, if you're going to talk about doors, I mean, it's always been a problem. I know when I was in the commercial painting business many, many, many years ago, right, Bobby?
When he was 10.
I'll go with it.
Yeah, right.
He went with it last time. We had to bring him ding-dongs to prove it, right?
Yep.
Anyways, I used to use a industrial high-gloss enamel that they would normally use for floors, but we used to paint the doors on them. It shined. It, obviously the prep is real important, but it shined and it lasted. It had really good longevity. So, I mean, I don't know what products that you use, you know, going into that. I mean, I know there's all sorts of different finishes, such as satin and semi-gloss and high gloss. I mean, what do you guys recommend for different types of surfaces? I mean, let's say, for example, stucco. You use a flat paint or a semi-gloss, or what do you think, Mike?
Well, what I would tell you is sometimes the sheens are just actually preference of what the homeowner likes because it's aesthetic. But a couple of things to keep in mind. The flatter the paint is, the more imperfections it's going to hide because the sheen draws your eyes to that attention of any imperfections in a surface. So if you use a high gloss on a wood that has, you know, notches or knot holes and things like that, your eyes are going to be attracted directly to that high gloss spot.
That's a good point.
Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that the higher the gloss, the more it's going to actually repel dirt and other, you know, contaminants that get on the surface.
So the higher the gloss would give you a little bit more longevity?
What it does is it helps it stay a little bit cleaner and aesthetics looking that way. It's easier to clean. So as you go up in sheen, it does repel a lot of the dirts and things that would get on the surface that would help the surface start to look like it's getting aged and old.
No, okay. All right. Should the building be primed before painting? Tom?
Yes, absolutely. The primer is your base coat that sets the stage for the paint. It helps in the longevity. It actually blocks the acrylic resin of the paint from penetrating into, say, a stucco surface. So the primer basically locks down the surface after the pressure washing, after the mill decide. So it locks down the surface so the paint has something very strong to adhere to.
Okay, so that prevents peeling? flaking?
Yes, okay. Done correctly, absolutely. Yes.
So, for example, if they didn't put a paint, for example, they didn't put a primer on, and they applied the paint to a poorly prepped surface, no matter how good the paint is, it could still peel. Mm-hmm.
It could still peel, and a semi-gloss may appear to be a satin because
it's trying to grip onto something that's not a really good surface.
It's soaking in, yes. Oh,
so wow. What's the first thing you should do before applying any type of paint?
Well, in my specifications, I require a mildicide, which is a mildew algae mold treatment. It's a chlorine and water mixture. Whether it's visible or not, it has to be killed. A lot of people believe that just simple pressure washing will remove that when the spores actually are embedded in the stucco surface. What the chlorine and water mixture, which is typically about 8 parts water, 1 part chlorine, does, when exposed to the wall for about 25 to 30 minutes, staying wet, it will kill the spores. Then you pressure clean, and it won't grow back through the paint film.
So you get a pump spray, you spray the whole building down first or house?
It can do that, or there's injectors with pressure washers. You can use that, the injector.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the priming talk again. You said that's like a base coat. Is there color in that prime?
If you're changing color, yes. There's two types that we normally use. There's a clear, if you're just going color on color, same color.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a pigmented version. So say if you were changing from, let's just say, beige to blue, we would take the pigmented version and tint it to about 3/4 of the color of the desired blue finish. That way the painters can see the actual difference in the colors.
Okay.
And you wouldn't get just a coat of primer in some areas.
All right, that makes sense. All right, let's talk about caulking. I know buildings and houses tend to have cracks, therefore it has to be pretty important to caulk first. Is that correct?
Yes. When you're going to do a paint job, you definitely want to prime before you caulk.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you place the caulk in there, what it does is it prevents water intrusion.
Okay.
And it's important because when you start getting water intrusion and leaks, it gets behind the paint film, and that's when you start getting blistering and paint failures, and people are thinking that it's a paint failure when in reality it's actually moisture behind the paint film. And that most of that can be prevented by doing proper job of caulking in all those cracks and areas that around windows, doors, and such.
Some of these buildings out here in Florida, you know, especially some of our high-rise buildings, have got some pretty large cracks in there. You know, a lot more than just a tube of caulk that's going to do. So how do you repair the larger cracks, you know, maybe quarter-inch, half-inch cracks?
That's an excellent question because in my specifications, I use a lot of photographs so the board members actually understand. Typically, an eighth of an inch.
Now, that's Sun Coat Paintings. And Dyco paint specification.
Correct.
So those are your specs, right, Tom?
Right. And they're pictures.
Just want to make that clear to our audience.
Okay. Yeah. And what I'll do is I'll take, I have two standardized pictures showing the difference between, let's say, an eighth of an inch width crack, which you can just simply patch with elastomeric patch, or bigger, which would have to then be routed out with a special tool, handheld tool, cleaned, primed. You then insert what they call backer rod, and then the caulking goes over top of that.
Which is a little foam piece of rod.
It's a foam rod,
right?
Yeah. What that does is it stops three-point adhesion. Caulking is made to stick to the sides of two sides only. The third side would be the backer rod, which is movable, and it'll eliminate the possibility of or lower the possibility of failure depending on the movement. But the three-point adhesion thing is very important to be avoided.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. All right, Tom, how do you repair larger areas of a stucco building? How do you keep it from leaking?
Well, for example, let's say you got some of the stucco coming off the actual block. I mean, you got to actually do a stucco repair job, right? That's not
correct.
Something, right?
Correct. And without getting overly technical, it is very heavily monitored, if you will, on stucco repair. There are many, many products on the market today that still contain asbestos, and unfortunately, they did use asbestos on some of these buildings when they were constructed.
So you can't use asbestos for the exterior of a building when it comes to repairing a stucco, because if the stucco comes off, so goes your paint.
Correct. What you have to do is get it tested for asbestos and get a clean bill of health. Otherwise, you're exposing the workers to asbestos dust. And
right.
That's more important is the safety of the workers. Very, very severe penalties. It is regulated very heavily throughout the United States, even Puerto Rico, Guam.
But that's typically spelled out in your specifications if it comes down to that, right?
The asbestos testing, if I see a building in my specification, yes, I put it in there that the contractor is responsible. It's not expensive to do, and there are certain companies that do it that are all licensed by the state of Florida and trained. And then there's, if you do have asbestos, which is very rare, in 32 years, I've only run into one major product that had an asbestos abatement on the stucco that's typically found on interior ceilings. But there's other companies that do asbestos abatement separate of the inspectors, so you don't have a conflict.
Well, that's interesting. Hey, Mike, I got a question for you. What about waterproofing? I mean, do they still use the elastomeric products? I mean, they were very popular about 10 years ago. For waterproofing high-rise buildings and stuff like that. I mean, is that still relevant out there, or are there different products that they're now using?
Well, elastomerics have been around for, probably since the late 60s, early 70s, when they first started being used. And everybody thought, wow, what a fantastic product it was. And it has served its purpose for generations. And basically, it was like putting a big water balloon over your building. And water could not penetrate the elastomeric. It was a thick film product that had a lot of elasticity. So it would stretch if the building moved.
Hence the name, right?
Hence the name. And so one of the downfalls was if you used it on a vertical surface and water got behind that film, it would balloon out. It would pocket water.
Right.
Because water couldn't get out. Couldn't get in, but it couldn't get out. So over generations now, what's happened is new technologies have come along, and a hybrid, what they call now is high builds. And high build acrylics now give you the same waterproofing properties that elastomerics would give you on a building, only they are breathable. So they allow water to evaporate from the backside should water get behind it. And so
it's actually not going to balloon out then.
So it's not going to balloon out. And so what's happened now is in many cases what's happened is high-build acrylics are now replacing elastomerics, and elastomerics are more or less being phased out of the industry. They still exist. We still manufacture one, but we're phasing it out as well. There are other manufacturers out there that still make them, but for the most part, you can still get all the benefits of what elastomeric gives you without any of the problematic issues by using high-build acrylics.
Okay.
I imagine there's a lot of work that goes into prepping before painting. So how would you prep for aluminum soffits, fascia boards? Tom, you want to...
As far as aluminum soffits, and I'm assuming aluminum fascia boards as well,
mm-hmm.
Aluminum soffits, a lot of folks believe that you can, if they are dirty and stained and that sort of thing, can pressure clean them. Sometimes the stains are so embedded that they simply need to be painted. Now, you have to be very careful with aluminum soffits because typically they are perforated, allowing ventilation into the attic. So those surfaces, the best way is to do the mildew algae mold treatment with the chlorine, come back and pressure clean them, treat if there's any screw heads, that sort of thing, treat those areas for rust,
okay.
And then simply use the clear primer sealer. It's almost like liquid glue. Allow that to dry, and then apply the paint. Now, the trick is to apply them by spray. If you roll them, it will clog the perforations and lower the ventilation to the attic. Your power bill goes up, et cetera.
Right, so you just spray out the soffits and fascia.
Just
keep it from getting on that asphalt shingle roof.
Well,
right?
It probably looks better, too.
Yes,
yeah, it does. You got a little more uniformity there. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Now, let's talk a little bit about window frames or screen enclosures. I mean, you know, you see a lot of really nice paint jobs go out there, but then you got the frames and the screen enclosures that still look pretty raggedy. Can you paint window frames?
Oh, absolutely. We
specify that. It's got to be a tedious and
it's,
very...
It's a lot of labor.
Is it really?
Yeah, okay. The ratios typically on a stucco surface are about 25% of the cost is in the material, 75% is the other cost. When you get into a window frame, you're looking at maybe 10% is material, 90% is labor. But it is very tedious. Basically, the best way to do that, rather than blast it with a pressure washer because you have the risk of water intrusion, is to clean the aluminum window frame with denatured alcohol. And then we have actually direct-to-metal, they're called DTM acrylics, that will stick directly to that without a primer. And they are factory mixed in different colors, such as bronze, black, white, the standard colors. So we don't have to tint them, and,
right.
and it actually gives you a better hiding power. So it reduces your labor.
So what do? Do you paint them with a brush or you spray them?
You can paint them with a brush. You can spraying would be. They've done it, but it's pretty difficult.
Well, yeah, it's very tedious.
They have to tape everything off. So either way, they're going to have to tape off. So the majority of them that I've seen have been a spray application. And as far as screen enclosure frames, same process, but the screens will have to come out and be painted. The frames would be painted and new screens inserted into the panels.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Quick question on the cleanup of oversprays, such as on windows, doors, and screens. I mean, in a perfect world, that's not going to happen. But we know we have overzealous painting contractors out there, and they're in a hurry, and that happens. So how do you clean up that situation? Or how do you prepare for it?
Well, when you're talking about overspray, hopefully, when you're talking about windows, hopefully they have taped off the windows and mm-hmm. either put some plastic or liquid mask or something to prevent any overspray that would get there. But, you know, accidents do happen. And if you get it on glass, it's easy because you can either take a razor knife and get mm-hmm. it off. Sometimes denatured alcohol, if it's water-based acrylic, will actually take it off. When you're getting it onto door panels and such, you know, it's probably then you're in a situation where you're probably best off to just paint over it and you know, and take care of it, because it's probably a little too tedious to try to. You can't scrape it with a razor knife. You can't.
What about any wood railings, anything like that? How would you handle wood?
Again, on wood railings, it depends probably on the how decorative they are and mm-hmm. and how much how ornate they are. Because if there's a lot of design work into those railings, then you're probably better off repainting them.
Then you're in big trouble.
Yeah,
right?
I would say.
yeah, exactly.
The property owner is going to be, I know I would be upset. What about you, Bobby, if somebody got overspray all over your beautiful hand railing?
Oh, I would say so.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening. We're going to be back in a couple of minutes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Sun Paints and Coatings is your hometown paint store, family owned and operated for over 40 years. Sun Paints has 6 locations throughout Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Pasco counties. Sun Paints and Coatings manufactures Daico brand paints in Tampa and is an authorized distributor of Benjamin Moore and PPG paints. Sun Paints and Coatings works closely with property management companies, HOAs, condo associations, and individual homeowners, helping ensure a great project. Trust the experts at Sun Paints and Coatings. Sun Paints is the best paint under the sun. Visit us at sunpaintsandcoatings.com.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves in providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly three decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. For those of you just tuning in, our guests today are Mike Galley and Tom Crozier from Dyco Paints, and we're talking about the proper way to paint the exterior of your home or buildings. So for a moment, let's talk about lead paint. I know it was banned back in the late 70s. Is it still used?
It is not used, Sharon, but it is still out there because we have buildings that are still standing well before 1978. Mm-hmm. Lead paint was banned in 1978. It's toxic and especially harmful to children, pregnant women, and their children. But if you do plan to buy, rent, renovate a home built prior to 1978, any person in that home is susceptible to lead exposure or poisoning by breathing or swallowing the lead paint chips.
Well, from what I understand, and there's certain disclosures that real estate agents, as a real estate broker, I know this, that they have to give when it comes to any homes built prior to 1978.
Correct.
But my understanding is it happened a lot in homes where there were lower income. You know, some of the children had vitamin deficiencies and so forth, and they craved lead paint, so they would actually chew on banisters and become poisoned with lead paint. I mean, those are some of the reasons why I think, which was really debilitating, you know, for some of these kids. But I can understand why lead paint was banned. Now, what about oil-based products? I mean, I know they're not environmentally correct or sound products, and they're slowly phasing out. But oil-based products have always been longer and more durable products, right, Tom? I mean, or Mike? I think you're kind of shaking your head on this one. What's your position on that?
Yeah, oil-based paints, and at least in the state of Florida, are still viable products. There are certain states where they have now phased them out, California being one, where you cannot buy oil-based paints out there. But in the state of Florida, you can. So much of what's happened with the newer technologies has been forced by the EPA, and they keep changing the VOC laws, that's volatile organic compounds in paint. So they keep lowering them and lowering them, and which makes it more and more difficult to manufacture oil-based paints.
So it's more on the manufacturing side than it is on the consumer side, because, you know, I mean, as a consumer myself, I always look for the oil-based products, especially for baseboards and moldings and trims. You know, it looks so much better, you know.
It does give you a great look, and it gives you a really durable, hard finish.
Right.
And, you know, you get an old-time painter, and they just absolutely have to have their oil paints, love them.
That would be me. Bobby, I know we got some calls holding. Let's take the first caller.
Yes, we have Greta.
Hello, Greta. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your question?
Oh, thank you, sir. Okay, so my question is that the last painter I hired, and he got paint all over my screens, and for some reason he won't return my call. So I don't want to replace most of my screens. So my question is, do you have any suggestions for that?
Well, you obviously didn't pick a good painter, right? So
I don't know.
All right, Tom, would you like to answer that question?
Greta, that there's rather than replace your screens, there is a couple of tricks out there. The most popular one I see is to pick up some spray paint that matches the screen, and carefully, of course, you want to put drop cloths or newspaper or something down on the floor, and that would be to spray over the overspray. Make it the same color, just so it all blends in. But you don't want to overdo it, or you'll block the screen.
And you got to make sure the color is correct, because what will happen is you'll have one panel that'll look black, and you'll have another panel that'll look slightly different black.
Like bronze.
Yeah, or bronze. So, yeah, you got to be careful on that. But hopefully we answered your question, and I would keep trying to call your painter or file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau on it.
Okay, thank you, sir.
He should call you back, but thank you so much, Greta.
Thank you for calling. All right, Bobby, let's take another caller.
Yes, we're going to go out to Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. Welcome to the American Tech Connection. You're on the air. What's your question tonight?
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I just purchased a home, and in one of the rooms, there's wallpaper on the wall. I believe the guy put cement contact. Gel to put it on there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that I can paint over that?
Mike?
There is a possibility of painting over it if you're not willing to remove it. I know it may be stuck really hard on there, but they do have some wallpaper removers. There's a product out there called Diff where you can scarify the surface a little, put sponge on this Diff product, and it eats away at the glue that's behind on the wallpaper. So that may be, it's a little tedious, but if you want to try to remove it, that would be a way to do it. As far as painting over it, you can paint over wallpaper. You're best to use I would suggest using an oil-based primer over your wallpaper. And then once you've got it primed, then you can paint it. Now, one thing to keep in mind, that if the wallpaper is textured, you may still see that texture. It's not going to be a completely smooth surface unless you had smooth wallpaper.
Well, it depends on the kind of wallpaper as well, too. I mean, if you've got, let's say it's a paper product instead of a vinyl product. I mean, is it possible that if you put paint over it, the heaviness of the paint and the adhesion... The adhesion components of the paint might actually take the wallpaper off?
There is that possibility, Mike. That could happen, the weight of the paint. If the glue starts to let loose, it could happen.
Well, that's one way of getting that wallpaper off the wall, right?
Yes, it is.
So I guess the answer to your question is you can paint it, but it's probably best if you try to get it off somehow.
Yeah. Just buy that product that Mike mentioned.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, thank
you. Have we answered your question, Stephanie?
You have. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. Thank you. Bobby, we have any more calls online?
Yes, we're going to go to Lisa now.
Lisa, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air. What's your question?
Well, I've got a tile roof, and I've seen some of the painted tile roofs, and they look good. But I'm afraid if I paint my roof as opposed to pressure washing it, I'm going to have to paint it every 5 years or so. And what's the consensus on painting a tile roof?
You know, that's a good question because, I see a lot of tile roofs out there, especially like in the mainlands. I mean, they got like 2,000 homes and they paint those tile roofs on a regular basis. That's got to be a huge cost.
Yeah, they're beautiful to look at, but I'm sure there's a lot to keep
up. There's a lot of maintenance. So do you pressure wash or do you paint? What do you think, Tom?
Funny you mentioned that property. To answer your question, you are pretty much stuck for life on painting that roof.
How often?
Every 5 to 7 years. If you think about the paint and how they wear in the Florida sun, they chalk. That's usually the first sign of paint wearing. You just touch it and it's chalky. Think of a wall. You only get sun half the day.
Roof gets sun 24 hours a day.
24 hours.
Now, so it's... probably would last for 7 years if they bought paint from Sun Paints and Coatings, right? Or maybe even longer.
That was a plug. Come on.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. In that case, it'll last forever. No. What I would recommend is at about 3.5 years, just pressure wash the roof lightly. Don't blast it.
You got to be careful busting tiles up there and everything else. Right.
Exactly. And I would actually try to attempt to hire the same contractor that painted the roof in the first place.
Well, if it's not painted, I think that's your question, right, Lisa? If it's not painted, I think we're recommending at this point, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but to pressure wash it, get somebody out there that's familiar with pressure washing tile roofs so they don't go up there and bust a whole bunch of tiles, especially if there's nothing in your homeowners association documents to say it's required to be painted. For example, Mainland's, I think it's required to be painted.
It is, yeah.
I would just clean it, and it's probably going to be a lot less maintenance free for you by doing it that way.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for calling in.
Thank you, Lisa. All right, Bobby, we have another caller.
Yes, we have Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question tonight?
Hi. I just got a quick question. If I want to paint the outside of my house, should I buy very good paint, which is a lot more expensive, or can I get away with the average paint?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Well, the answer to that question, you should buy paint from us.
So, yeah.
It's always above average.
Good answer, right?
Yeah, because that's going to be very good paint.
Yeah.
And that's even inexpensive very good paint, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So what I would always suggest to you is, the paint, if you're going to be painting your house, I would always suggest that you buy higher quality. Make sure that it's 100% acrylic paint, and I would buy at the top of the line paint because painting is something that you don't want to do very often, and so the longer that you can put it off, the better it is for you as a homeowner. So if you can get there and get a higher quality paint, it is going to extend the life of the cycle for when you have to go back and get it repainted again.
Well, it makes economic sense. I mean, you were telling us earlier that a paint job typically has about 25% of the actual material cost, the rest of it's labor. So why would you spend 75% to put cheap paint on a house that's going to last you for maybe 3 or 4 years, if you're lucky, to have to do it all over again? So right. I think it makes sense, Jessica, and correct me, guys, if I'm wrong, but to go out and buy the best product that you can that's going to be able to endure this Florida sun, and make sure you get a good professional painter out there. And in fact, call Dyco, and they'll write the specs for you and make sure it's properly prepared, the houses and the surfaces are properly prepped, and the product is put on properly.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, have we answered your question there?
You have. Thank you so much.
All right,
much.
Jessica. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jessica.
All right. Hey, bye-bye.
Listen, bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Listen, guys, I got a question for you. You know, there's always that concrete pool that, you know, everybody looks at and says,
it can use some sprucing up.
Yeah, it needs some sprucing
updating.
Up. But do you paint it or do you have it, like, remarsided, you know, which is a lot more costly? But, you know, I've always been fearful of painting the bottom of a pool for fear that you're going to get in there one day. And when you get out, your bottom of your feet are going to be white. I mean, is there a product out there that you can paint a pool, and do you recommend that?
Well, actually, there is. And we actually manufacture and sell a pool paint. Comes in a couple of standard colors, white and in a blue.
Blue.
As long as you have a concrete pool, you know, typically that concrete pool is already going to have a paint on it.
Yeah, but it's usually embedded in the surface, right?
It is. And then, you know, just like anything else, you're going to need to make sure that the surface is nice and clean. And once the surface is clean and doesn't have any contaminants left on it, then you can go ahead and put the pool paint in there. And once you're not going to end up with white or blue on your feet at the end of it. Actually, actually works really, really well.
Is that with chlorine and salt water?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. We just did a large commercial pool at the Brandon Aquatic Center using our products, and for their pool, they just resurfaced the whole pool there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby, we're going to take a quick 2-minute commercial break. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Sun Paints and Coatings is your hometown paint store, family owned and operated for over 40 years. Sun Paints has 6 locations throughout Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Pasco counties. Sun Paints and Coatings manufactures Daico brand paints in Tampa and is an authorized distributor of Benjamin Moore and PPG paints. Sun Paints and Coatings works closely with property management companies, HOAs, condo associations, and individual homeowners, helping ensure a great project. Trust the experts at Sun Paints and Coatings. Sun Paints is the best paint under the sun. Visit us at sunpaintsandcoatings.com.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey! What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
At Corliss Barfield, we spent decades representing some of the most powerful insurance companies in America. Now we only represent individuals with troubled insurance claims or whose families have suffered as a result of personal injury. Battling insurance companies is our business. Look for our faces in front of juries all across America, not on cheesy billboards. Corliss Barfield Trial Group, where battling insurance companies is our business and business is good. Give us a call today.
877-517-5595 or visit us on the web at corlissbarfield.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Mike Galley and Tom Crozier from Daico Paints. And we're talking about the proper way to paint the exterior of your homes and buildings.
So I'd like to ask, you know, we like to paint our walkways, driveways, and garage floors. I especially like that. It really spruces up the garage. But after painting, what type of paint should we use, and just how durable is it?
It really depends on the surface. A lot of surfaces have been improperly prepared and then painted, which just creates a nightmare, adhesion being the biggest issue. So you could go out and buy the ultimate paint and put it over top. Just say you had a pressure wash your garage floor. You could put the best paint possible over top of that. You wait a week even, drive your car in there, and it just peels the paint right off. But it's not the paint that you put down. It's the paint that was put down prior to.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you put a primer down first, just like you would on a building,
absolutely,
correct?
And even if necessary, have the old paint removed.
Are all paints considered equal when it comes to like your garage floor?
Oh, no, there are so many floor paints, from industrial coatings. I like to put it this way: you can buy a product for foot traffic only, such as a sidewalk, or you can buy a floor paint for an aircraft carrier. And everything in between.
And you guys sell it all. It's Sun Paints and Coatings, correct?
Yes. I don't know if we have aircraft carrier paint.
Yeah, we have access to it.
We do have that.
Anything and everything.
Guys down at McDill, we got it.
All right. Bobby, I think we have one more caller on the line.
Yes, Katie is on the line.
Katie, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question tonight?
Well, I had a question in regards to the same thing you were talking about. And on a garage floor, I've seen the various, like, epoxy coatings that could go on. And, you know, you can sprinkle stuff in it to give it a textured look. And I was wondering about the durability. Does it also still peel up? And is there certain priming techniques that have to take place?
That's an interesting question. I mean, they've got a product that you guys sell that I think it's your product called Tough Coat.
Absolutely.
I mean, how does that stuff work? Is it durable?
It's tremendously durable. You know, I think, Katie, that what you need to first is to find out, is there any coating on the concrete surface currently?
There's paint. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if there is, the best thing that you can do is, if at all possible, is to remove that and start with a clean slate. And if you can do that, then we can help you and lead you into a direction where it's not going to peel. Everything is about preparation. It's about getting the pores of the concrete to open up and accept the stains. And we're talking about concrete stains because it penetrates into the pores of the concrete and locks in. And at that point, it's not going to peel on you. So, you know, we make a couple of products. You know, one is called Tough Grip. And that is a primer that goes down onto that concrete surface and locks into the surface and won't allow it to peel. And then you top coat it with the Tough Coat, and you can pull your car in there and have the confidence that you're not going to have any peeling on your garage floor.
Okay. Thank you.
Katie, I hope we answered your question, and thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. We know that Sun Paints provides the specs for the paint job. Sorry. So is there a cost associated with putting together that detailed list of the specs that the painting contractors have to follow?
No, absolutely no cost. We have a full team. Everybody is a seasoned veteran. We come out and do a complete analysis on each building. And I can tell you, in my career, I've written over 2,000 specifications, and no two were alike.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, and every building's different. And
now, I've seen some of your detailed work. I mean, pages and pages, books maybe, right?
I've had them over 150 pages. It depends on the job.
Yeah.
And some of them are very short. But bottom line is, it's a detailed spec specific to that building that each contractor then has to follow. And then you have an apples-to-apples bid process. It's no different than shopping for a car.
Exactly.
If you're shopping for a car, you want certain features. You hit three dealerships, get your best price.
Well, first of all, I think the board is going to be very, you know, have that peace of mind seeing the detail that you put into it, but also know that it's going to be a lot easier to select a painting contractor based on your specs. And like you said, everything has to be apples to apples. So that's always a good thing.
In addition, we follow up afterwards to make sure or assure you that as the HOA board, that the contractor is actually following that specification.
So
only half the job is writing the specification.
So during the job,
there's periodic unannounced visits, and we monitor the number of
gallons.
Works.
Okay, yes. And then at the end of the job, you also go and you make sure that it's...
Do a final.
Okay.
Yes.
Speaking of painting contractor, I mean, how do you qualify a good painting contractor? I mean, you know...
It's really based on his track record. You know, if we're constantly getting complaints, hey, this guy used your paint... And then at the same time, there's three other guys using the exact same paint and having no issues, then there's something going on with that one individual contractor.
Well, obviously, it's like the caller we had just a few minutes ago where said she's trying to call the contractor, the painting contractor.
He won't even call her back.
Yeah, he won't even call her back. So, I mean, obviously, you know, there's some really bad painting contractors out there. So is there a license required when it comes to...
Yes.
And what kind of type of license do painting contractors have to have in order to...
Good question.
Yeah, they have to do basically what you'd call an internship, and I believe it's been since the early 90s that I've had my licenses, but the contractors do a two-year internship with a currently licensed contractor, And then the currently licensed contractor signs over that they're allowed to take the exam. And I'm just going to use Pinellas County, for example. You can go on to pcclb.org, and it'll list out all painting contractors that you can be assured that they are licensed, they've passed the test.
So it's called PCCLB,
Pinellas County Construction Licensing Board.
That's good information.
.org.
And what's the license called? Is it a PDA or a
Painting, just look under painting. It's specialty painting contractor. For whatever reason, they came up with specialty painting contractor.
Okay. Or if you're dealing with a Meritech community management, we will do the vetting for you. So
correct.
That works as
correct.
Well. A little plug there for us. What about a warranty? Do the painting contractors stand behind their warranty? Should the homeowner get a manufacturer involved? How does that work?
Well, if you're working with a reputable painting contractor, mm-hmm. he's going to stand behind the warranty. And any community, HOA, condo association, or individual homeowner, their first point of contact should be with that paint contractor if they're having an issue, because their contract, so to speak, was with them. And if they believe that there's an issue with the paint, then that paint contractor will reach out to us, and we'll come out and do an inspection and help resolve the issue. The whole idea is to make sure that the end user and the building owner is satisfied at the end of the job and for years afterwards.
What has been your experience when it comes to failures, paint failures? Has it been the product itself, or has it been the painting contractor and the application procedures?
Well, I will tell you that in my 25 years in this business, I will tell you that I'm not going to say that paint is flawless. Occasionally there's manufacturing batch issues, but for the most part, it all comes down to surface prep.
Well, that's interesting. So really, choosing the right painting contractor is really critical.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what can we do to extend the life of a paint system? Tom?
What I suggest is that a pressure washing mid-cycle is okay. No different than washing your car.
You know, because you always think of the pressure washing that's going to take the paint off, you know, or it's going to accelerate.
You do a light pressure wash. You just remove dirt, any contaminants.
Well, folks, so if you're looking for a good paint manufacturer, look no further. Use Dykel paints. I know some of you are thinking it's just a bucket of paint, but with Dykel, it's a bucket of paint you can depend on. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.